Father, we come to you again this morning and we thank you, dear Lord, that the days you've given to us could be the day the Lord returned. If not, we're certainly looking for you. Until that day comes, help us to be occupied. To occupy, we need to understand a lot of things about you and ourselves and life this side of eternity. And I pray this morning, Lord, you'd help with the message. I pray, God, you'd give me understanding and in a deeper meeting than ever before, studying into the Scriptures and looking at life and seeing the greatness of God. It's one thing to say we know something. It's another thing to really see how great you are. And I pray you'd honor yourself today and this frail body. And I pray the attention would be towards the pulpit and listen as we go through the day and next Sunday in a two-part message. And dear Father, we'd understand a little more about you as you reveal yourself to us. And we won't just be talking about a God. We'll be talking about the God of the Bible as he reveals himself to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated and take your Bible and turn, first of all, in Genesis chapter 1. We're going about three or four places quickly for kind of a springing board. Genesis chapter 1. I want to give you the title of the message to begin with. It's simply, I call this the perfection of God's intelligent design. The perfection of God's intelligent design. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the beginning, and this message is going to be divided in two parts. Half of it this morning, half of it next Sunday morning, because there's no way in the world that I could get this in like I wanted to. And don't even know whether I'd be able to do it in two messages or not, because it took me weeks and weeks and even months of studying this to come to this point. And it started 2 years ago when I was operated on with cancer, but now it's come to this point and narrowed it down. And I believe God is, it amazes me how God reveals himself. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a type of person that believes that God exists. So everything I read that looks like beyond the thinking of man because of our education on our day don't take me from God. It brings me closer to him because he enhances himself in my heart. He enlarges himself in my heart. And I'm going to give you something I believe if you'll listen, you'll leave from here not only just being able to talk about the God, but know who he is and know how great he is. And why this world can't see it is because they just do not know God's grace. They never experienced to be saved by God's grace. A child of God who's born into the family of God has the ability to see things about God as he reveals himself that this world can never see. And so I hope you'll follow with me. Now, first of all, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our image. We understand there's a Trinity here, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And they said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So we know there's going to be more than one. We know Adam and Eve start with, and God set up a system of procreation that where we're born today many years later. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle of the earth, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So this verse gives me understanding to begin with. I'm not seeking how things began. I know how it began. God created it. And I know from the beginning up to this time, since about 6 days have taken place, and now on the sixth day, creates man in his own image. He tells us that. In other words, he created us in his image and flesh, and you've heard me go through that before, and I won't go through it now because of the message. But he created us to the point that we would represent him and have dominion over this which he's created in this earth. As long as we obey him, things will be in harmony. As long as we obey him, then God will bless and things will run very well, just as sure as you and I are here today. But something happened. Before we get to that, look with me in Psalms 139. Many years later, David came along and he examined himself and he said in verse 13 through 16, he said, for thou hast possessed my rings, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he said, marvelous are thy works. When he had what crude ways he had of looking at himself, which was very crude, except what God would reveal, He understood what he saw, that there's something about the makeup of man in God's image that was beyond the thinking of anything else God had created. The fact that we had dominion. He said, and he all he could say is, marvelous are thy works. And that's what you and I can say, marvelous are thy works today as we look at what God has created. And he said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And I believe that's talking about in the womb. And just go back up in verse 13. He said, verse 16, thy eye did see my substance, yet been imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Before he was ever born, God saw him in his mother's womb. And God set up a system, you heard me say before, that were procreation, man would be born. Two people would come together, man and a woman, fall in love, have a home, and have children. And every child would be different. And I'm like this. He said, my son, thou saw my substance. You saw what I was made of before I was ever conceived. You saw what I was made of when I was conceived. And he said, thy books and all thy, in thy books, all my members are written. In other words, in every individual person who's ever born, there's not another person just like that on the face of the earth. You heard me say that before, and I said it here for this particular message. There's no one else like that. There's no one else written in your makeup like you are. There may be a lot of things similar, but there's some things that's different that no one else on the face of the earth has. And God said it. And God knew what that was. Every individual that's ever been born, then written beforehand in the process of procreation, God knew what is written in your members and what is in mine. He knew us that well. Which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In other words, before it was ever set up or ever known, he knew. And when it came into existence of the mother, a child being born in this world, God Almighty continued the fashion of that DNA process and the makeup of that individual until the day they leave this earth. So here we see God creating man, perfect in his situation, no death, having innocent. God give him a one command in the fact that he should to show prove his obedience. Thou should not, you know, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, so forth. And of course, man fell. But even now, with the curse of sin, David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, marvelous are thy works. Now look with me, if you will, in James chapter 1. Something has happened. We know this, that sin has marred the perfect creation that God made on this earth. And we have this in James and telling, but every man is tempted, in verse 14 of chapter 1, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Sin has marred God's perfect creation, and death has come upon the scene. Now, if you look with me over also in Romans chapter 5, look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13 and 14, he said, wherefore, as but one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. Romans 6:23, all have sinned and come short. Romans, for the wages of sin is death, he says in Romans 6:23. So death has come. Here's this perfect creation that God created in a state of innocence. Give him a try, one thing, and we don't know how long this went on, but the time came that Eve was deceived and Adam entered the temptation of sin. His wife, where she's at, fell by transgression, and this creation was marred by sin. And death came upon man. And you'll see what I'm leading to, if not today, by tomorrow, by next Sunday. For unto the law, the sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So we know that sin came. Sin, through lust, is conceived, and when sin is finished, there's death. Sin kills. Sin destroys. Sin has brought about the pathway of death to the human race. And we know that, and James gives us that, when sin is finished, he said, it bringeth forth death. Now look in Romans chapter 8 with me just a moment, and we'll read the last few verses and get right into the message. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 23, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, look where we come from. And now, by this time, Paul is talking about the suffering that we go through. Not worthy to be compared to the glory. God has done some marvelous things for us, even though we're cursed with sin. And it's through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, to be compared with the glory which have revealed, for earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and treadeth in pain together until now. Isn't it amazing? This perfect creation, due to man's sin, has been groaning in pain under this situation ever since, travailing in pain together ever since man fell and sin was brought into the world. And notice verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. I said to you, begin with, that I believe that there is a God. I believe that. Two people were talking one time, friends. One of the friends said, I believe in God. The other said, I don't believe in God. I just don't believe there is such a thing as a God, a person as a God. There is no God. And he said, well, let me ask the other friend. He said, let me ask you something, sir. He said, do you know everything? He said, what kind of question is that? He said, I just want to know, do you everything? He said, well, of course not. Everybody don't know everything. He said, well, if you admit that you don't know everything then. He said, yes, I admit that. And he said, could it be possible then that God is in that which you don't know? I think that's a good question. God is always present. And I want to see, and when I think about His perfection into this and narrow it down to one thing, it's so broad, the evidence is so great, and yet I'm going to narrow it down to one little thing and dwell on that for two services. First of all, the introduction, though, everything in time had a beginning. Everything in time had a beginning. Laws of science show that that things are running down. Evolution says we're moving from a lower species to a higher species. How can that be when everything that's created is going in a reverse direction? No matter if you look it from the lowest animals to the highest, still in each one of those species, it is actually going down. There's no such things as crossing over into, no such thing as an animal becoming a human being. No way possible. It's not even genetically possible to do so. And so the sun, for instance, is using up fuel at millions of tons each second. That just blows my mind. Millions of tons of fuel each second has been used up by the sun. Now that tells me that it started somewhere or another more than it has now. And it tells me that if it's using that kind of energy, what a tremendous product it is that God made. But ladies and gentlemen, one of these days, using that kind of energy, the sun's going to cease to shine. It's not replenishing itself. It may go on for quadrillions of years if the Lord lets it, but He's not going to let it because He's coming back. He's going to make things new. We won't need the sun, as we know, S-U-N, when we get on the other side. Why? Because the Shekinah glory of God's going to shine over there. It out brights the sun, you see. If that's good language. So I'm saying to you, it's depletion in power because of the massive fuel use that it's doing even today as it's shining. And by the way, it's still using the same fuel if it's not shining. Amen? It's just the fact it's cut off from the earth. So this shows that it had a beginning. The sun had a beginning. Now, we say that God created all things. I believe that. When we say this, they say, well, who created God? I dealt with that a few weeks ago, and I just want to make one comment here. There's no way in the world you can ever tell anyone when it's asked that question. If they can't believe that God exists because when you go beyond Him, there's no one to go to. But say, they want to say, well, who created God then? Well, you've heard me say, if we said, well, you know, so-and-so created God, then they say, who created so-and-so? And then you got, there's no answer to a person who wants to use that type of language. Because then they say, well, the one who created God. Who's the one that created the one who created God? Well, here's the one who created God, who created the one who created God. And then you go back and say, well, who's the one that created the one that created the one that created God? There's no answer to it. It's just a continuous mess, you see. So you either got to believe it exists, or if it is, you just have it's a hopeless case for an individual. So when we say that God actually created all things. So the Bible does not try to prove God's existence. It doesn't imply that God had a beginning. It just starts out, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that gives Him His authority, and it ought to give it to us. So when we look at this, God is outside of time. God is eternal. God had no beginning nor end. God knows all things, is omnipotent. And not only that, He is infinitely intelligent. You can't teach Him anything. Now that blows our mind, but that's who He is. You have to recognize who He is. He doesn't need anybody's instructions. He needs to give us instructions. But sometimes we feel like we don't need His instructions. We don't like His instructions. And we think that we can come up with something better, and we come up short in the end. So God knows all things. Now the question is this. And I asked the question myself and looked at this answer, and I asked the question I asked myself. Is this. Is it logical to accept such an individual as an eternal being? Is it logical to my mind as a human being to accept an eternal being like God describes Himself? Can our education today allow for such a belief? What evidence would we expect to find if God did exist? I know He exists, but I'm talking from looking at the world. What is the evidence that we expect to find if God did exist? How will we recognize this all-powerful Creator? How will we recognize His intelligence? And I come to the conclusion after seeing the broadcast, too, of course, I didn't need this, but for my own help. You see, I don't only believe God exists, He's proved to me that He's existed. You know, it isn't so much say, well, you just believe that. No, not only do I believe that, folks, I'm telling you, after 50 years, God has proved to me His existence. Not only from a biblical standpoint, but what He's allowed us to see that comes through the center of God's Word. And I say that because many times in our age, the last 100 years, we've found things, ladies and gentlemen, that man has never seen before. And instead of it bringing it towards God's Word, they belittle God's Word and He's driven away from God. And so now, how would you recognize any kind of evidence of intelligence? Let's start right there. How would you recognize any sign of evidence of God's intelligence? Well, let me give you what they said a few weeks ago about the Mediterranean Sea. I told you about the flood. They said the flood took place, but it wasn't according to Noah's day. It's 1,000 years before Noah's day. And they say, we know that there's a society there, and it's around the Mediterranean Sea. And when the Mediterranean Sea now where it's at, we believe that that society is under the Mediterranean Sea. And they were going to investigate this error. And how would you recognize then this evidence of intelligence? And they said this. The scientists said that they found tools where people were living at in the past. Tools would show signs of intelligence. In other words, we find tools of any kind, whether it be what you work with, crude, I don't care how crude they were, or pottery, or anything like that, it would be signs of an intelligent, evidence of intelligence. Tools will show signs of intelligence. Tools, they said, cannot design themselves. So an intelligent creature is responsible. I agree with that. But I want to tell you something, folks. This space and what we're living in on the planet Earth, it's much more than a simple crude tool made by an individual. Much more than made by an individual. Design is all around us, where God has proven that man could not have done it, and God did do it. And so now, I'm looking at the perfection of God's creation, or God's intelligent design in His creation. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Capitol building in Washington, D.C. is not a product of that formed itself from the explosion of a brick factory or a stone factory. And I want you to know also, cars and planes and stereos and computers and all the things we use today are not products of time and chance. Metal by itself, left to itself, cannot form anything. It takes an intelligent design. The Bible says in Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I'm going to give you 4 points on the perfection of God's intelligent design. And the first one is today, and the next three will be next week. We already see that when God made man, it was good. Our Bible tells us that God's original creation was very good, and God was well pleased with it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, verse 28, when He created different parts of His creation, He said, and He looked at it, it was good. And then He said in verse 31, everything that He made was very good. That means it was excellent. It was excellent. Not a flaw in it at this particular time. But according to what we see, what God told Adam happened. He died. He might have lived 930 years later, but he died spiritually before God, and death began to take place in his body. And you want to understand that more after we finish this message next week. Death began to take place in his body, and with the period of time that God allowed from a perfect human being and innocent to the time he died, he still died. God's word is true. And here, we find that when James tells us about sin, and how it originated, and what it does, and how it brings death. Here, God's perfect creation is marred by sin. In Romans, again, chapter 5, he told us how it was done. Wherefore, as one man sin entered the world by death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The wage of sin is death, Romans 6:23. So we know why people die. We may not understand it, but you know, we know why people die. The wages of sin is death. Everybody dies because of sin. You mean saved people? Yes. We all die because of sin. It's the nature that this body has been contaminated with, and it cannot enter into the place where God's going to take us as His children one day. He gives us a glorified body. Thank God the new creation is not like this old flesh. Thank God it's been made new. But now look at God's perfect creation is marred by sin. It amazes me, in spite of the curse due to sin, God's creation still brought Him pleasure when people obeyed Him. All of creation was made, was involved with the fall of sin, fall of man. In Romans chapter 8, verse 20, he said, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but reasoned by Him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, the vegetable world is involved because the very tree, Eve was tempted to center around a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know that the fall of man was also introduced by Eve, being tempted by the serpent, which had to do with part of the created world in the animal world. We know that the final act was when temptation was presented to Adam, when not only was he tempted to look at his wife and see her condition, but he was not deceived. He fell by transgression. He absolutely disobeyed God. And that's when the sin was imparted to man in this earth. Now, the curse that God placed upon His creation due to man's sin brought about the problems of our day. That's the reason we have thorns and thistles and cuckleberries and weeds and things like that on this earth. The Bible teaches us that. That's the reason women have pain in childbearing. That's the reason we die. Sin. By the way, God kept His word. Adam and Eve, when you sin, son, it's death. The death penalty's on it. And even though we set up a wonderful system of procreation where others will be born, you don't realize what you're doing when you do that sin. Disobey me one time, and the whole human race afterwards is going to be involved in it. Thank God, though, He said in the beginning and showed us in the seed of the woman and the serpent that He was going to work out a plan and system so that we could be reborn or be born into the family of God. Now, this brought about something that amazes me since I've got involved with this cancer. This brought about what they call cellular mutation, resulting in all kinds of DNA problems to man. The cells of the individual that make us up. That's the cells. They say that a body has more than 1 million cells. That's a one with 12 zeros plus cells. 40,000 cells can fit into a little zero on a typewriter. Can you imagine that? You can't even see them. You can't even see them. They're so minute they can't see them. But without them, you can't live. I can't live. Cell mutation and natural selection is what evolution's method of information in destroying the method from lower to higher life. They say that evolution is from the lower to higher life. But in the very thing of cell mutation is that it changes and is dying rather than producing. Now, God made the cell situation in the body so it would reproduce when death came. He even planned that before. Hey, no cells were dying before man sinned. But He had it set up knowing, being the God He is, that cells would do certain things even after man sinned, that life could continue on for a period of time. If not, they'd have died a lot quicker. And this is a fascinating thing to study. Many have written about the splendors of this universe. But what about the splendor that God has put in each little teeny weeny cell that makes up this body? We can look at the universe and we cannot analyze it to a full point. We've got all kinds of spaceships that are going out, but you can't analyze it. But isn't it an amazing thing? This body is here. It can be analyzed. It can be looked at. It can be dissected. There's a lot of things we've learned. And since the 1950s, we have the electronic microscope. We have found so much out about this body that life can be extended just because we learn how to help the body when cells go bad. And God designed all of that. Why study this? Because, ladies and gentlemen, God has given us so much information today. It should draw us to Him. We ought to realize this is so complex, it could not just have happened. There's got to be a mind behind it. There's got to be a design behind it. Who is it? And God says, I'll give you my book by my Spirit. I've showed you who I am. And you ought to be able to read that and see me and then see the evidence of what I've done. And so when I look at this, cells are the basic structure of units of life. They measure 1/1000th to 1/50,000th of an inch. They split or separate through a process called mitosis. This process is divided into four stages. I just give you some thought. I did research on this. They're called the prophase, the metaphase, the anaphase, the telophase. And I want to say to start with, you know I am not a biologist. I'm not claiming to know too much. But I can tell you what, I can read. You find it, you begin to study it, and you write about it, and I can read about it. And I believe God will give it intelligent understanding, even though they use words that I wouldn't use. He gives understanding. Any one of us can go and read about, in our day, go to the library, get books, you can go to your encyclopedias, and you can find out things about this body that amazes us, and there are people who write these things, study these things, and don't even believe that God exists. I'm not a cell biologist, but I can read. And evident the curse of death upon man caused cells to die in man. And it started in a slow process. This began by destroying the cellular communication. It amazes me to look at this life in a cell. I'm not talking about the universe now. I'm not talking about what I read about that. But most of what they're in the universe, they cannot, they go by scientific ways of explaining things. You can study a cell. God has given us the instrument to study a cell. And that's what I want to dwell on. I want to dwell on how this great God created you and I, and how that one little product that makes us up, where we got millions of them, keeps us alive. How God set that up so that you and I, would he be alive today? If not, if he had not have set it up like that, we'd already been dead. In fact, we probably wouldn't even existed. He's a great God. He's a powerful God. And so, they began by destroying cellular communication. Cells began to divide without a signal to do so. Now, God set up that cells divide. If they didn't do that, we'd end up dying pretty quick. They reproduce themselves. But the intelligent design by God, it's amazing to study what man has failed out. Generally, God made cells to know when to grow, to divide. He made cells know when to rest and even die. Normal cells adhere only to other cells of its own type, tissue type. That is, whatever, it's a flesh cell, it will be a flesh cell. If it's another organ of the body, it'll be that organ. Whatever that organ, whether it be a gallbladder, whether it be stomach, those cells make up that type of organ. And that's only what it reproduces in that situation. These cells communicate with each other, with other cells of their own origin. So the organ or the tissue functions as a whole, keeping the organ or tissue healthy. 3 billion cells die in our bodies every minute. And 3 billion cells are replaced in our body every minute. What a God. you know, death's coming. And he set it up. Nevertheless, he set in the process of cell mutation. So in turn, as cells begin to change, they begin to die. But he also set up a system. I even look at the immune system. I'm going to do it today. How he set up a system where we could be protected to a point, but we're going to still die. Still going to die. These little cells, I'm talking about this little teeny cell you can't even see with your eye. Each healthy cell is checked by a set of checkpoints. No matter what organ of the body or what tissue it represents. For instance, when a cell signals to divide, it would determine whether it has adequate nutrition resources or not. When Dr. Torrey told me back 2 years ago that it seemed to have a mind of their own, he was right. He was right. A cell would examine its genetic information for errors, which if is repaired, if possible. When a cell comes to the point to actually divide, to make up those which have died, and we'll look at why they die later, make up which has died, they will check themselves. They will examine certain things. Genetic information has to be right. If the cell cannot repair itself, if something is wrong, it will program itself to die, so it will not be a threat to the organism it makes up, so that the body will be healthy. That cell, which cannot repair itself if something is wrong, will end up dying, self-destruct, so that the other cells will, when they do separate, will not pass on that to that particular cell for periods of time. The cell that separates and divides is determined to keep the tissue or the organ healthy, so the whole body can be healthy. In the beginning, they all were healthy. They didn't have to divide. Nothing was wrong. Sin had not entered in. And then the interesting thing about it is, each cell, as it checks itself, if everything checks out, the cell will grow to its proper size in the new division and later divide again, if need be, for the number of cells in that particular organism. At the nuclear division, the chromosomal segregation is checked for integrity to be sure all cells are genetically correct. Isn't it interesting? The gallbladder cell will check itself to be sure that it's gallbladder. That's the reason we find in our cells, you know, this stimulus thing and so forth, talking about what they can take cells of other places. The reason they found out those cells will work where they're at if the body would accept them. And what I want you to know and want you to see that cells behave according to their design. And God is their designer. God is their designer. Anything else don't make sense. You can, listen, the science can laugh at me all they want to, but it makes a whole lot more better sense to know that God designed it than what they say it just came from explosion. Or from something slimy in the sea. There's nothing slimy about me except sweat. Amen. We're made in the image of God. They work in harmony with each other. They communicate with each other to benefit the whole organism they represent. What a creation by God. The perfection of God's intelligent design that God gives us in His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it amazing? If God had spelled it out in detail, books could not have held it. And He gives us enough to know it, and we're finding it in detail instead of where God allows us in writing books upon books upon books upon books about it down through the years and all kinds of medical journals about things that we're finding. And instead of it drawing us closer to God, it's so beyond our thinking that God Himself doesn't exist in their mind. They can't put it together. You know why? Only the Holy Spirit help you put it together. And you have to be saved to have the Holy Spirit, you see, because without the Holy Spirit, there is no such a thing as being a child of God. And I'm not talking about just reading the Bible either. I'm talking about studying it. I like what we see in First Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, we see here that John is talking. He said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to him to show him and to his servant things which are shortly to come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I'm talking about revelation. God wants us to understand revelation. I'm not talking about just a book of Revelation. I'm talking about information that God has allowed us to find, how it's connected back to the source who is the designer. God forbid that we say we believe in our God and then cut Him off from what He's designed. If He is God, then what He's designed ought to be brought into it and understand it by faith if you can't understand it by fact. But the thing about it is, the facts are so great, then why not let the God who is so great be seen and believed that's behind the facts? So what I want to do the next 2 weeks, the last 3 points, is this. I want to contrast what we see in God's design with just the cancer cell. Since I've had that, I've been dealing with it for 2 years now in the last few months in detail. And it started this way. You say, preach what? I'm telling you, folks, if you're not saved, you better get saved. I'm telling you, God's in charge. And just because we live in an educated age today and prove that when it comes to education in our particular day, evidence is seen by things. The evidence that people exist is tools, they said, to the Mediterranean Sea. The evidence that God exists. Tonight you look into space. When you get home, you get a book out and read about the body. You get the encyclopedia is full of stuff you can read. If you can't get a book out of the library. I'm telling you, God, who made all this, has made a way so you and I can live with Him forever. But if you don't trust Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't become a child of God, you will go where God says they go, and that's hell in the lake of fire. God has made Himself real. And He's got a few people across this earth who stand and study these things to see Him more greater than we see the Scripture-wise. Just because He wrote it, that ought to be enough. But we see enough nowadays to prove that God exists. There's no way all of this could exist without Him. No way possible. And Dr. Torre, one day I was sitting to him, went to see, visit him. And I said, Dr. Torre, I'm amazed about this the cancer of the prostate and so forth. He said, Reverend, he said, don't you know, it's the most amazing thing to study you've ever seen. And I told somebody about this. I'm fitting here, and we're going to close and pick the rest up next week. He said, they look like they have a mind of their own. See, there's a reason why these renegade cells do what they do. You see, the cell in a body will not make a cell except like it is. Every cell in our body that divides will reproduce a cell just like it is, tissue, organ. And the thing about it is this, if it cannot enhance the organ or tissue to be healthy, it will disintegrate itself. God's a wonderful God.
You see, it happens because once a cell becomes a renegade, the other cells don't recognize it because it's one of them.
And the next thing you know, they have a mass called a cancer or something else, and a renegade in that organ. And here's the thing about it, the other cells don't recognize it because it's one of them. Until it's too late, and you either have to cut it out or you have to get something to help it because the body has no immune for that. And the thing about it is, if one of those cells ever gets out of that territory somewhere else, then it can affect other cells for growth or mass, even though it's not part of that particular organ of tissue. It's what they call a renegade cell. And here's what he said. He said, well, you know, when you talk about prostate, there's a number of ways you can cut it out and hopefully it's not going anywhere else. Or you can use seeds, radiation seeds and chemo. And there's a lot of things, different things you can use. The only thing about it is, if you don't cut it out, then the first thing that happens, if that has ever gone anywhere else, we'll start giving you outside help, chemo, radiation, what we think is best. And he said that will help destroy any seed that are renegades that move somewhere else into the body, hopefully before they get too far. But here's the thing about it is, once we started giving to the body that which is needed to destroy that renegade cell and those masses they perform, if we can't cut it out, if we cut it out, there may be some left. Once they begin to feel the effect of the help coming in from outside to the body, those who actually get away from the cutout or get away from where they're killed at that time, sometimes it's small enough you can kill it without removing it. But he said then, they are smart enough to realize we can't win. And then you have some of them begin to filtrate back in the body and find a place that they can be comfortable in and just sit down and be dormant. for years. And the first thing you know, they get a chance to come back, and they'll come back, show up somewhere else. Like they got a mind of their own. It's satanic. It's literally satanic. The fact is that God has made that, and He made the cells to reproduce when death came so the body could go on. And Adam lived 908 something years. But again, there comes a time that death's going to come because cells will cease to reproduce. And there will be times that the function of these things will not be to the health of the body. And I say to you, in that little teeny cell, God is all over it. God is all over it. He set it up to begin with. You can't even see it with your physical eye. But He's allowed us through the microscope to study it. They can tell you everything it does. Nutrition, proteins, everything that's in that cell. They can tell. And they've written about it. They know how it functions. They know how it acts. But they don't give God credit. And that's just a cell. That's a cell you can't even see with the physical eye. And look what everything, look what comes from that little cell. And look at what's been created. There's got to be a designer. And His name is Jehovah God. Now if He can do that, then I need to listen to what He has to say. But He don't talk audibly. He talks through His Word. He inspired a book, which is God's Word. He set up a system that in the age of grace where we're at now, He said that those who would trust Jesus as their personal Savior, first four books of the New Testament talks about Jesus Christ. The rest of them preach about Jesus Christ. And He tells us without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. He tells us He's made a way that where in turn, where sin brought this curse and these problems, Jesus Christ brought life. And the same God, He says, that I've written about Him. You know, before it was verbatim, and it could change it anywhere, and one generation the next wouldn't have any reference to know who was sending the truth. And God knew that, so what did He do? He preserved portions of His Word for us to read about Him. And then you and I in the age of grace who are saved, He gave us His Spirit, the same Spirit that wrote this book as He moved upon man. He wrote this book through man. As they wrote the words, and He lives in us to understand this book that was written so we could understand who God is. And then you wonder why someone who really has been called is so vividly about getting born again. And then once you get saved, seek ye the first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not worth my life to put it on anything other than what God wants me to do because that's the only thing that's going to matter. And yet we look at it and say, isn't that wonderful? Preacher, I appreciate you doing that good study. That's very interesting. You better be more than interesting. You better see who the true God is. Because seeing Him opens my heart to realize He's not what I thought He was even when I got saved, though I believe He was great. He's beyond my thinking. And because I can't understand Him entirely till I get to heaven, I thank Him for what helped a little bit this Johnson County boy's mind. And I wished I had a photographic mind, but I don't. What I've learned here, I've had to study hard, hours upon hours. And the amazing thing about it is, He shows us who He is through His Word. And when we see these things, it enhances who He is. To know that I'm standing here this morning telling you about a God that exists that could have killed Adam and Eve to start with and been just in doing it. We wouldn't have existed. But He loves humanity. You and I have experienced His love in Christ. If not, you can. It's open to the world. There is no such a thing as, you know, believe me, if you trust Christ as your Savior, He'll save you. And then you and I are saved. No wonder God has so much to say about our service to Him, our commitment to Him. He's alive, He's well, He's the greatest individual person that this universe will ever see. He's God. My Father, I want to thank You this morning for the first half of this message. Lord, I believe the research. I'm not a biologist. I'm not claiming to be that. But Lord, I believe what you've shown in this one area of life. One, it just makes, if you can show us this in one little cell that we can't even see, think about all of this that we can see. My God, you're such a great, wonderful, David's right. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, and marvelous is thy works in our sight. I add to that and praise your holy name, because we're not just talking to a man who's been made God. We're not talking about somebody who's just a weak little Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Disneyland product. We're talking about the God who started all this. God who's outside of time. One day stepped up in the beginning. God created heavens and earth and began time. We're products of time. One of these days we'll be taken out of time. Time will be no more. And that new creation in Christ Jesus we put in a glorified body. And we're going to live with you forever. I can't imagine. Lord, I don't even believe that this body could even withstand what you had to show if I could stand on the streets of glory in this body. It's so overwhelming to the body of flesh what little we see. And that's when you give us a glorified body. I wonder what it's going to be made of. I don't think it'll have cells like we have now. It won't need it. They won't, the life product of the body, dear Father, this protoplasm that's been made up here is literally the structure of the body. It's the life structure of the body. When we get to heaven, it's going to be a glorified body fashioned like in the Christ's body. Dear Father, if someone here today not say, please let them see Jesus. If somebody here this morning, now listen to my radio in a few minutes, may they for one time in their life look at God through the Scriptures and then analyze what we've said about how great He is. And dear Lord, if we say the evidence of fact is there, there's a design and He's the designer, then I need to listen to Him not only about what He said in creation but what He said about His Savior. I need to listen to Him what He said about death, about grace, about the blood of Christ. I need to listen to Him when He said you must be born again. I need to listen to this God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.